Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Adisk, and we're bringing to you opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. And to this beautiful, fine day, warm day here in central Pennsylvania, Tuesday, September 10th, 2013, and a lot of crazy weather across this country. Heck, you have temperatures in the Minnesota and Iowa, 100 degrees, first time ever for the month of September. So a lot of crazy, crazy weather. Not sure what Dallas is having, Al?
Oh, we're in the high 90s.
High 90s?
Yeah.
Well, we might have beat you by temperature today.
Yeah, but we're still in Texas.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter what the temperature is anywhere else, we're still in Texas, and
yeah,
that all by itself, that trumps anybody else's temperatures.
You think so? Yeah, okay.
It does. It does. I mean, Texas is a state of mind.
Yeah.
It's not just a state. It's a state of mind. There's something special about Texas.
Well, we got a lot of things going on today for September 10th. 2013, and let's first get right to the markets with gold today. And we'll be talking about this here in just a little bit about the deal that Syria and Russia have come to. And we have gold down $21.70 at $13.65. You have silver down 76 cents at $23.06. Platinum down 11 at $14.78. And the sunshine of the day, palladium up $8 at $699. Crude oil today was down, of course, 2.25 at $107.29. And the USDX was stronger most of the day, but currently I'm looking at it down 0.01 at 81.81. And the markets took a very happy, happy note based on the information. Yeah, the Dow was up 127 points at 15,190. The NASDAQ was up 22 points at 3729, along with the S&P up 12 at 1683. And the 10-year yield still right along almost at 3%, 2.96, up 0.06. We're continuing with the all your purchases for September here at Discount Gold and Silver. Your name will be placed in a drawing, and we will have this drawing October 1st, and you have the opportunity to perhaps win a Mint State 62 $10 Liberty Gold piece, and the second prize, the second place winner, would be a tube of 1 ounce silver eagles. And so they're great prizes to be won, and we look to September as a very exciting month for gold and silver as we go into the, as we end up the third quarter and head into the fourth quarter. And even though it doesn't seem like it, even though we've had the gold pull back from the 1400 levels, I expect the end of this year and the first of next year to have some interesting things unfold. Our problems are not going away. I think our problems with the Middle East have not gone away, although they might have for just the day, but they're still very serious, and we'll just have to see how this all plays out. Alfred.
Yes, ma'am.
What do you think? Do you think Putin came out and knew that everybody wanted out of the situation, so he provided a way for everyone to pull out of this dangerous situation that was coming to a peak?
I don't think they're pulling out of a dangerous situation with the exception of Syria. Now, what we're talking about is Syria has agreed to accept a deal that was proposed by Russia where the UN would essentially inventory whatever chemical weapons Syria has and perhaps take control of them and so on. And they have, the Syrians quickly agreed with this initiative that was advanced by Russia. So is Russia doing this to avoid a war? I'm sure Syria is doing this to avoid being bombed. They don't want the chance of being bombed. But what this, from my perspective, is all about, France is in this. They were peripherally involved. China would announce that it would back Russia's plan also. This is essentially a variation on a plan that was proposed by President Obama a few days ago, where he said, look, we won't bomb you if you will, if Assad will agree not to run for, will resign from office and agree not to run for office, run for the presidency of Syria in the next election. They have free and open elections. The chemical weapons come under control of the United Nations and so on. And he wanted, Obama wanted a great deal. But the deal that's being cut doesn't involve Assad stepping down from power. It doesn't involve mandate free and open elections. Most of what Obama wanted is not agreed to in this deal proposed by Russia. But even so, the deal diffuses the problem with Syria. And in doing that, it helps Obama a great deal because he's in a very difficult position right now. He's essentially put his credibility on the line and said, look, I can bomb Syria all by myself. I can get it done all by myself. And then he says, no, wait a second, maybe I do need congressional authority to do this. And assuming that this had gone to a vote in Congress, more than likely Obama would have lost. And he wouldn't simply have lost that vote. He would be the first president in modern times who advocated going to war, and Congress said, heck no, we won't go. It would cause a huge impairment of President Obama's credibility in the world, in Congress, even among the American people. If this deal goes through, and the Syrians say they've accepted the Russian deal, if it goes through and everything backs up, then we aren't going to have to bomb Syria. The Congress won't have to vote on bombing Syria. The Congress won't have to vote to say that Obama doesn't have the confidence of the Congress or the American people. And the one entity that's likely to profit most from this deal may be Obama. So is it going to eliminate danger in the Middle East? No. but it's going to eliminate a loss of faith for the President of the United States. And, you know, realistically, perhaps it's going to save Syria from being bombed, but I don't think that was going to happen. So that's my take on this. If that makes any sense to anyone, it's not just about Syria or Russia or China. I suspect this has a great deal to do with Obama. I suspect that President Putin may have approached Obama in the first place and said, look, I think I can get a deal where we can get you out of, out of the doghouse, essentially. And perhaps Obama said, yeah, buddy.
Well,
I sure appreciate it.
I don't think Putin would, the two would just say, can I get you out of here? I wonder what.
No, there's other things.
Of agreements were made behind closed doors.
I agree.
We can't forget Snowden. There was very bad vibes between the two. Now, I'm not saying that Syria was the result of Snowden, but there was bad vibes there prior to the situation in Syria. So I'll guarantee you there were a lot of agreements that were made behind closed doors between Russia and Syria and between Russia and the U.S. and all kinds of things. So, and I'm not sure we've seen the last of this either.
No, the circus is not over.
No.
All right. Barnum Bailey and Barack will be coming back to town, and they come through on a regular basis. This particular circus has perhaps been called off without seeing the elephant eat the tiger or whatever, but we'll be back. The circus will come around in another 90 days or 6 months, and we'll have another episode of As the World Turns.
Well, everybody talks about Obama saving face, but actually I think this whole situation has really made Obama look very weak. And
catastrophic. The difference is, has he suffered a catastrophic blow to his credibility, or has he suffered a modest blow to his credibility? He's coming out of this a loser, but whether you come out a big loser, you come out a small loser.
I don't know. A loser is a loser.
Not exactly. You go to Las Vegas and lose $100, you can convince people that you basically broke even.
I guess it
you
just
go
depends.
There and lose $100,000, you're not going to say, well, I basically broke even. No,
all
you didn't.
Relative to the amount that you have, so, but a loser, you know, to me, I think a loser is a loser. That's a girl's thing now. but yeah, so it'll be interesting to see how this all plays out, and it'll be interesting to see what his... I'm sure his speech writers are very busy this afternoon readapting his, changing his speech for this evening at 9 o'clock.
He's got his speech du jour,
mm-hmm.
You know, and it may not have anything to do with yesterday's speech du jour. It might not have anything to do with Wednesday's speech du jour, but he'll say something. He'll say something today that is at least appropriate for today. We may change our mind for tomorrow and the day after that, but for today, it'll be interesting. It's just another, you know, Paul Craig Roberts, who was a former Assistant Secretary of the Treasury the Reagan administration, if I recall correctly. He's on the Internet on a regular basis, and he writes very intelligent articles and whatever. And he's made a very interesting observation. But one of the consequences of the problem with Syria has been a huge loss of credibility for Barack Obama, for the government. And they came in with, we were going to have another invasion. We were going to have another bombing. We were going to have to settle accounts with some Muslim country in the Middle East because they weren't doing things the way we thought they should be done. And the result was the public, the Congress, the world just said, no, we're not buying it. And I wrote an article on it that I just posted on my own blog earlier today called Two Al-Qaeda False Flag Attacks. And just posted two videos, one describing the false flag attack, well, that is attributed to Al-Qaeda at 9/11. And right now, according to one of the videos, about 84% of the American people believe that 9/11 was an inside job, a false flag operation that was almost certainly perpetrated by elements of our own government. 84% of Americans. And you can sit back and say, well, that's extraordinary because we can't get 84% of Americans to agree on anything. That's an extraordinary percentage of Americans that agree that there's a high probability that 9/11, the attacks that took place, 12 years ago in 2011, that these attacks were ultimately perpetrated by our own government. Al-Qaeda was accused, but our own government was responsible. 84% believe that's the case. But you can sit back and wonder. Here we are 12 years after the fact, and let's assume that the 84% are correct. Let's assume that the government is responsible for the 9/11 attack. We'll just assume that for the sake of argument. What difference does it make today that 84% have come to the conclusion that, yep, the government was responsible? Does that mean that any of the perpetrators are going to be arrested, tried, convicted of crimes? Or does it mean that even though we understand the truth today, that the perpetrators will probably still go free? And there's a good chance that the perpetrators will go free, and we are left to wonder, did all the work that people have done, the study and the reports involving 9/11 over the last 12 years, and all the reports and the study and arguments and videos and articles that helped the American people to reach a point where 84% believe the government was in on it. Was that helpful or it was just futile? Because the people responsible almost certainly aren't going to be punished. And the answer is that it was extraordinarily helpful. That the focus on 9/11 and building a cadre of people, 84% of the American people, that say, I think the government was in on it. It might not do anything to punish the perpetrators of 9/11. They may never be officially identified and public and punished. But it laid a foundation for ignoring Barack Obama when he said, oh, somebody has set off gas bombs over in Syria, and that means we get to kill them. Huh? The American people, it's hard to believe, but the story, the link between Syria and 9/11 may be that the American people are learning from history. Everyone knows that old the saying, those who won't learn from history are bound to repeat it. Well, in this particular instance, it's about 70% of the American people have said, we don't want to go to Syria. We don't want to invade. Don't do it. And Congress is pretty much going along with them, and the rest of the world is going along with them. And why are they doing this? What does it indicate? It means they're not buying the story that Obama presented. And he said, look, the Syrian government gassed some of its own people, so we got to bomb them. Nobody's buying it, or very few people are buying it. And the reason they're not is because we were burned on 9/11. And it may have taken us 12 years to reach a huge consensus that we were exploited by our own government in regard to 9/11. But as a result of that learning experience, we are now at a point where we're saying, hey, we're not buying it. And we're not going to Syria. We don't believe it. If the government says, if our government says the Syrian government gassed the Syrian people, we are looking at it with a jaundiced eye. We are skeptical. We are doubtful. We are distrusting. And that's a good thing. The point behind this is that by making a persistent effort for 12 years with regard to 9/11, we may have stopped another invasion into Syria. I'm Alfred Addis. This is Financial Survival. I'm here with Melody Cederstrom. We'll be back in a moment. Please stay tuned.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in an untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate in those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad-spectrum immune-boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Or take your chances with the bad boys. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free, 866-229-3663, or online, thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Hi, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Alfred Addisk, and this is Financial Survival. I'm here with Melody Cederstrom. Program's brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver, 1-800-375-4188 for all your gold and silver coin needs. Melody, do you want to remind them of the special again?
Yes, basically two specials for the month of September, the whole month up to October 1st. For every order that you purchase here at Discount Gold and Silver, your name will be placed in a drawing. We will have October 1st, and you will have the opportunity to perhaps win a Mint State 62 $10 Liberty Gold piece, and the runner-up will receive a tube of 20 one-ounce Silver Eagles. They would be 2013, so brand new coins from the Mint Silver Eagles. So that's with every order. And then we also have, we're going to continue the Indian special, where we have the Mint State 62 $10 Indian, the Mint State 62 $5 Indian, and the 1 ounce gold buffalo, 24 karat gold, modern issue buffalo gold coin, which of course has the buffalo on one side. They're called the buffalo, but then they also have the Indian chief on the other side. Beautiful package. You must call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. We've got a lot of other coins available. We've got the 90% silver available now. The premiums on that are beginning to come down. They're great buys. We have some quarters and 50 cent pieces. We also have Morgan silver dollars. We have the 1921s and the pre-1921s, the ones that are dated 1870s, 1880s, 1890s. We got a great selection of silver and, of course, gold. All of our Mint State coins and our bullion coins, 1 ounce Gold Eagle coins, and Canadian maple leaves. They're all great buys. And fractional pieces. We have some half ounce, quarter ounce. Stick with what's readily recognizable and acceptable, folks, when you're purchasing your gold and silver coins. And I did want to make a comment. I get calls all the time on these Vicambi bars, you know, where you can break off the little chips. They're in grams. They're written in grams. Folks, do you really believe the majority of people in this country know what a gram is? And if you have a little gram in one hand and maybe a 10th ounce gold eagle in the other hand, what do you think most people would be more apt to approve or to accept? They're going to accept that gold coin over any type of bar. I don't care what it is, whether it's a little Vicambi chip. And it's the same way years ago there was people out there trying to sell gold bracelets with the idea. And I think they did this in Vietnam or in one of those countries where they would take the link off and trade with the link. Folks, you're not in Vietnam, okay? You're here in the States. And that might have worked for that position. That might have worked.
It didn't even likely work. Yeah, I doubt that it worked well in Vietnam.
How do you know what's in that? Nobody knows.
That's exactly the point.
But, I mean, I was doing that as an example just to show that these Vicambi bars, as logical as it might seem,
no.
Where you could, to me it doesn't seem logical, but you know, for a lot of people it might seem, yeah, I can break off a little chip and I can take it and use it and so forth. To me, I think you're paying way too much. You're paying, I did a price comparison, you're probably paying 10% commission on just plain old bullion. If you want plain old bullion, just buy a bar and you'd be far better off. You'd be able to get more gold for your money.
Yeah, get yourself a bar and a sharp knife, and you can just shave chunks off of it when you want to. And really, the truth of the matter is, it would be more believable if you had a bar, you carried it around in your pocket, and you took out a knife
just
and you shaved off. And you'd see the whole bar and say, yeah, it looks like a whole bar. Yeah. They might believe that. You come up with those little pieces when they are still attached and the card is intact. And they've got, I don't know, 50 of these little grams that are on there. I'm not sure if it's 20 or 50 or whatever's
50,
on the card.
50.
But while they're attached, okay, maybe this is believable. But once you detach one of those little pieces of metal from the card and you show it to somebody else, well, this is a gram of gold. Oh, yeah, says who? And I'll tell you another thing. When you break the little grams loose, the individual segments loose from the card, what do you suppose the chances are that each segment is exactly the same weight? I'll make you a bet that when you break them off, some of those 1 gram sections actually weigh a little bit more than a gram, and others weigh a little bit less. Now what are you going to do when someone says, I don't think you got a full gram here? You know, the whole thing was just, it was perhaps an interesting sales pitch, but as a practical matter, it makes no sense.
And I
understand. You start breaking your gold up into chunks, who believes? What about the next guy? He's going to believe that? He's, oh, yeah, I'll take your word for it that that's a gram of gold. Are you going to believe that? I don't think so.
I don't either. And I can understand why people might think that, you know, well, I'm looking for a small piece so that I might have to trade or buy something with. Folks, there's much better things to buy out there than that. And, of course, that is certainly the argument for purchasing that type of a product. But just like what Al said, I mean, who's going to believe what you have? I mean, I think people would rather buy something from China than one of those little bars, but I don't know. Give us a call, folks, 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188, and we'll help you out. We'll give you some great advice on what to purchase. We had gold down 21.70 today at 13.65 and silver down at 23.06. Tomorrow, 9/11, bikers, they were hoping to cruise through D.C. and through Washington, D.C., and they received disappointing news over the weekend that the city had actually denied their permit request. And organizers said that we find this regretful. for the residents and businesses of that great city and humbly offer our apologies. What could have been a 1 or 2 hour ride through will now likely be an all day event. It is legal for motorcycles to drive through D.C., and participants plan to cross into the Capitol undeterred by after 11 a.m. For security purposes, the final route will not be posted publicly. It's unclear if law enforcement will take action against what may be a traffic-clogging, permitless demonstration on wheels. But the riders have said, hey, we're going to abide by all traffic laws, such as yielding to pedestrians and stopping at red lights. A member of the D.C. Police Department's Public Affairs Office told the U.S. News officers will act if there is a crime committed. And it would be a crime for riders to engage in certain activities if a permit is required for them. And so the ride was initially intended to remember the people who died in the 9/11 and the soldiers who fought Al-Qaeda in Afghanistan. Let's see if there's any other. So there was also, Al, another demonstration that received a permit from the National Park Service for use of the National Mall, and its participants will include groups that doubt the official account of 2001 terror attacks. There's at least one Tea Party organization, Princeton professor Cornell West and Congressional Black Caucus Chairman Rep. Emanuel Cleaver of Missouri. And I guess there was also supposed to be a Muslim-initiated demonstration. And so there's various organizations that are to be present there tomorrow.
Well, I understand, and they're, you know, it's 9/11. They're going to do what they can. That's going to happen. You can expect there'll be something in. I assume there's going to be something in New York City. There'll be something in Washington. Hard to say what's going to happen exactly. But my question is this: if the bikers have to get a permit from Washington D.C. in order to bring their motorcycles into town, do you suppose there should be a permit for the Republicans bringing their congressmen into town and maybe another permit for the Democrats bringing their congressmen into town? In the end, it's hard for me to imagine that the bikers commit anywhere near as many crimes against the American people as does our own government. So I think it's time we start issuing permits to the Republicans and the Democrats. And if they don't get the permit, we'll just tell them we're not going to let you come into Washington, D.C. What do you think, Melody?
Well, perhaps. Perhaps.
Mm. You're skeptical. You don't think we're going to have permits for politicians?
Well,
it's one of those ideas whose time has perhaps not yet come.
Perhaps.
Good idea, but not necessarily. The time is not yet right. What else do we have, Melody?
Perhaps. I guess the governor of Detroit... Or, I'm sorry, the governor of Michigan has agreed to answer questions in a deposition about his decision to let Detroit file for bankruptcy. They have been resisting this based on executive privilege. They've now changed course, and they've informed Judge Stephen Rhodes during a hearing Tuesday. Unions opposed to the bankruptcy say Snyder's sworn testimony is important. They say Detroit is ineligible for Chapter 9, a process that could let the city shed billions in long-term debt. Union lawyer Sharon Levine says Snyder's testimony is necessary to understand the motive. I mean, I don't know how difficult it is to understand the motive. They're broke. How hard is it? And as we all know, they filed for bankruptcy on July 18th, and he was scheduled an October 23rd trial to determine if Detroit is eligible for bankruptcy. So, that will be coming along with many other bankruptcies.
So, speaking of Detroit, here's an article entitled 50,000 Abandoned Dogs Roaming Streets of Detroit in Packs. Anyone who's looked at this understands that at least parts of Detroit are so badly, they are devastated. They're not merely impoverished. They are just flat out ruined and wrecked. And it's become a kind of wasteland in sections of the city. And city officials are overwhelmed at the prospect of handling an issue that raises both animal rights and safety concerns. They've described the situation as almost post-apocalyptic, as they have, again, 50,000 dogs wandering around town. And they're talking in the article about the suffering of animals goes hand in hand with the suffering of the people. People in Detroit have been, some of the dogs are strays and they've got loose and they've just running wild, and others have been turned loose.
Mm-hmm.
People can't afford to feed them anymore, can't afford to keep them, and so they didn't shoot them, they didn't euthanize them, they've just turned them loose to take their chances out there in the hood. And it is so bizarre. The crime rate is already significant in Detroit, as people are impoverished and commit violent acts against each other in order to try to compensate for their city bankruptcy and their poverty and so on. But they also have to worry about running into dog packs. Right? As if you don't have enough trouble to begin with, now we may have dog packs. The city says there were 903 reported dog bites last year, including a woman who had her scalp bitten off by two strays. Attacks have become so prevalent that the U.S. Postal Service has temporarily halted delivery to some of Detroit's neighborhoods after 25 carriers reported being bitten. Pit bulls, or mixed breeds of that kind of dog, are the most prevalent type of dog left out in the wild. I mean, we're going to have roving packs of pit bulls. Boy, it can't be good for real estate prices in Detroit. You can get a heck of a bargain on this house, but you just got to make sure you can get back and forth to it by fighting your way through a pack of pit bulls. I don't know what to make of it, but it's a strange story, and it's the kind of story we can expect to see again in other communities. When people go broke, they're going to turn their dogs loose.
But what the heck is wrong with people? I mean, let your dogs, and where is it? Where are the veterinarians who will say, look, if you're broke, we'll take your dog, we'll euthanize him, put him out of his misery instead of letting him roam on the streets? I mean, where is the compassion from anybody? And yes, there's a lot of good animal facilities, the Humane Society, you have the... I can't think of the other one off the top of my head. I know Carla would. I know Carla would know what it is. She needs to email me. But and I know they can only do so much because their funds only go so far.
That's right.
But
in the article, they talked about Detroit used to have 15 officers to animal control officers back when Detroit was still semi-prosperous, and now they only have 4. And the problem is enormously greater than it was when they had 15 officers. Now they have an enormous problem, and they only have 4 officers to deal with it. And they were complaining that they're exhausted. They get too much overtime. Can you imagine anyone in Detroit, in the midst of the poverty that's taking place in Detroit, complaining that they're getting too much overtime? And yet here we have 4 officers that are picking up stray dogs and whatever. They have too much overtime and it's wearing them out.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just interesting to me to see these problems. We look at economics as if they're just a matter of mathematics, but they're really not. They're a matter of morality. They're a matter of people. And now we begin to see they're even a matter of dogs and cats before we're done. I'm Alfred Addis. This is Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver. I'm here with Melody Cederstrom. We'll be back in a moment. Please stay tuned.
Countries have denied internet access for their people during civil strife. The FCC seized in-use commercial shortwave frequencies right after the September 11th attacks. No one communication system can be depended on to be there when you need information. You need choices. You need a KU band free-to-air satellite system from AVR. The AVR system includes a receiver, an LNB, and a 75-centimeter dish. All you need to get on your own is the coaxial cable. The system is delivered to your door for $149.99. That's right, delivered for $149.99. That's the shipping and the system, $149.99. Call 541-225-4659. That's 541-225-4659. Or visit AmericanVoiceRadio.com and click Satellite System.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addisk here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver, 1-800-375-4188 for all your gold and silver coin needs. What's next, Melody?
We're going to talk about Chattanooga, Tennessee, Volkswagen. U.S. Senator Bob Corker said today that Volkswagen would become a laughingstock if it went through with the deal with the United Auto Workers, representing workers at their Tennessee plant. He says for management to invite the UAW is almost beyond belief. They will become the object of many business school studies, and he's a little worried about becoming a laughingstock in many ways. The Volkswagen wants to create a German-style works council at the Chattanooga plant. The Volkswagen group respects the employees' right for an employee representation on plant level at all locations worldwide. This certainly also applies to the Chattanooga plant. That was a letter from the plant managers. He says, according to the letter, the discussion with the UAW is necessary because a works council can only be established in the United States through an established trade union. Some experts have disputed whether that's a requirement, and politicians such as Corker have suggested that the UAW should be left out of a works council at the plant. He says there's plenty of other unions available. He says, why would they choose one that has created such a mentality in these plants of us versus them?
Well, it sounds like, Mr. Corker, what we're dealing with in part is Volkswagen has a German culture, a German mentality, and they're endeavoring to try to establish that culture in the context of their new plant in Chattanooga. But the problem they're running into is that they can't create this labor council. I'm not sure if that was the right term, but a council. Was it labor council?
Work council.
Work council, which is perhaps a central idea in German manufacturing. They can't easily create that here in the United States. And Corker, they've got Germany has to bring in some union in order to establish the work council, and they've chosen the AFL-CIO. Which one did you say?
The AUW.
Okay.
The UAW.
UAW. All right, fine. And Corker, I'm going to guess, is a Republican. Do you know?
He is a, I do believe, a Republican. Yes.
Well, then he is responding to this as much as anything. It sounds like his problem is with the UAW. He doesn't want to do anything to strengthen that union. It's not a question of what's right or wrong or good or bad for the people that are going to work in the plant. Corker doesn't want to strengthen a union which is almost certainly going to support the Democrats and never going to support Mr. Corker. So what I'm groping for here is the idea that he's just serving his own interests on this rather than the interests of Chattanooga or the interests of the workers or the interests of the plant. I don't think someone might be a laughingstock doesn't seem like it's significant to me.
You're right. Him and the UAW, they have been at odds since he pushed for wage and benefit concessions for union workers as part of the government bailout of the automakers back in 2009. Corker maintains that his role in the discussions helped the auto industry emerge from the economic crisis in stronger shape. And, you know, it really all comes down to about money. You know, it's like, you know, whose palm is getting greased the most. But also, what's interesting, I think, about this, Al, is that they continue to push to bring in these foreign-owned manufacturing plants. And certainly we've had Japan and China build many of their vehicles over here. But you start bringing in at a time when the U.S. is really has not a lot of control. Because we need the jobs so desperately, it'll be interesting to see how these work councils affect employees.
Well, it just sounds like Germany, given Germany's productivity and Germany's strength and whatever, these work councils are probably not a bad idea.
Mm-hmm.
And they might not only be a decent idea relative to management, they might be a pretty good idea relative to labor. I mean, it works for the Germans. Why not try it over here? And here we have Senator Corker saying, nope, we don't want that because it might involve the UAW. I think this is just politics. I don't think this is pragmatic, doing what's right or wrong. It's just a question of what's good for the party, what's good for whoever.
We also, the House leaders are going to... they were supposed to release, unveil a plan about the to win support for the funding bill to keep government running through mid-December, and of course force the Senate to vote on derailing the implementation of Barack Obama's health care law.
Well, that would be a good thing, and I think it'll probably happen. One way or another, it's going to happen. I think Obamacare is going to go down the toilet, although it may be several years before it happens. But I think the program, everyone I've listened to who's talked about the program pretty much recognizes that it's financially untenable. We can talk about it. Some people might think it's a good idea, and it might be a good idea for me to take a vacation to Tahiti. It might even be a good idea for me to build a home in Tahiti, but it's financially untenable. I can't afford it. And this is perhaps the same thing. We just can't afford this.
Well, I was met with a surprise this morning reading something on this health care bill that comes. We all know that for the larger businesses, they have an extended year before it goes into effect, and their fines would come into play if they didn't have everybody signed up. Well, I read this morning, and I'm still trying to figure out the details on it, but small businesses, if you do over $500,000 of revenue and you have one employee, they need to be notified of the Obamacare option, whatever that might be, by October 1st. And if you don't, you get fined $100 a day. So, and this was overlooked in the extension. I don't think it was overlooked, but they said it was overlooked in the extension for the larger companies for that 1 year extension. So for those of you who do over $500,000 in revenue and even have one employee, you're required to make arrangements and notifications to your employee by October 1st, or you'll get fined. And it took a lot of businesses by surprise. And, of course, we fall into that category. And I need to find out exactly.
Obamacare surprised a bunch of people, not the least of which are Congress and the Senate. Again, it's one of the classic illustrations of how irresponsible our government has become. They voted for the law, as Nancy Pelosi told them, vote for the law, and then we'll show you what's in it. You got to vote for it first, and then you can see what's in it, which is just stupid and irresponsible and completely contrary to fundamental principles of legislation. But the idiots in Congress voted for the law without knowing what was in it. And then after they voted for it, they found out, oh, my gosh, the law even applies to people in Congress and their staff, and they can't afford it. So now they want a special exemption for Congress and their staff. Let the rest of the yokels out there in TV land, well, you can have Obamacare, but Congress wants no part of it. The Senate wants no part of it. You know, there should not be any laws. It shouldn't even be possible for the Congress to pass laws that exempt from which it exempts itself. And in fact, these kinds of exemptions are prohibited by the Constitution, which prohibits titles of nobility. Can't enact any titles of nobility. The states can't, and the federal government can't. It's in the Constitution of the United States, and a title of nobility is an advantage or privilege that one group holds as compared to another. If I pass a law that says Melody gets $100,000 every month and I and the rest of you people only get $100 every month, we have a title of nobility. Somebody's getting a heck of a deal. Everybody else is not getting a deal. In theory, the government has to pass laws that apply to everyone equally, and that should include Congress itself, and yet Congress likes to pass these exemptions. And it's unconstitutional, it's morally wrong, it's evidence of the contempt the Congress feels for the people of the United States. You people have to obey the law, even the stupid ones, even the stupid laws you have to obey, but Congress, they can exempt themselves. So they can be as stupid as they want when they pass legislation, which is exactly what they did with Obamacare. It was criminally stupid, and then they got caught by their own stupidity, and now they want an exemption from their own stupidity. It's just wrong. Wrong, 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 wrong.
Well, this is a new news, Al, but we all know the gulf between the richest 1% and the rest of America is the widest it's been since the Roaring Twenties. The very wealthiest Americans earned more than 19% of the country's household income last year, and that is their biggest share since 1928. And the top 10% captured a record 48% of total earnings last year. And, of course, we all know the U.S. income inequality has been growing for a very long time, 3 decades, 30 years. But
yeah, coming back up with the rest of that, but it's the largest we've seen since 1928.
Yeah.
And what happened after 1928, Melody?
Yep. Yeah, 1929.
Or at least the stock problem in 1929, and from then on we went into that brought us into the Great Depression.
Mm-hmm.
This inequality will not be allowed to stand, and people in positions of power and people in positions of wealth are going to sit back and say, well, we can keep robbing people all we want because we've bought the Congress and we've bought the Senate and we perhaps have even bought the federal courts and maybe we've bought the White House, and so we can keep doing this. But you can't. I guarantee if people could figure this out back in 1928, 29, and they eventually did, I guarantee they're going to understand this problem thanks to the internet today. And when they fully identify this problem, there is going to be a political upheaval. What's the fundamental cause of this income inequality, Melody? I think I've talked about it on the program in the past, but do you recall?
Well, I don't know what you're referencing to me. As far as I'm concerned, it was taking us off the gold standard.
Laws.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the problem. The reason that Congress is passing laws that favor the super rich is because we have political campaign contribution laws that allow the super rich to buy and bribe Congress as if they are giving them political campaign contributions. What we should do is restrict their access to funds, restrict their access to bribes, and if the rich can't bribe them, they have no incentive to pass these goofy laws.
It is Wall Street that owns Washington, and they work together in order to keep things going. And we do have a caller before we move on. We have Joseph from Georgia. And Joseph, your connection, I can tell already, is bad, so we'll attempt it.
Hello? Yeah, go ahead, Joseph. You got to be quick. We got about 2 minutes.
Yeah, on that Obamacare, I don't have health insurance, and I've called up tax people, and then, kept my ears open when people was talking about the Obamacare, and I can't find nothing out about any kind of penalty, how much it's going to be if you just say, all right, I'll pay the penalty. Nobody seems to know exactly what it's going to be.
Yeah.
Well, I had the penalties. We went over them a couple of weeks ago. I'll see if we can't find them and go over them again tomorrow.
Okay.
Well, we have a guest tomorrow, Melody.
Remembered. That's right. All right, thanks. Bye.
All right, Joe, thank you for your call.
And you're right.
Yeah. We have a guest tomorrow, Michael Snyder from the Economic Collapse blog. Michael's been on the program in the past. He is a prolific writer, recently completed a book, and we look forward to seeing him tomorrow, and I hope you will too. And we've got a minute and a half left, Melody, so anything you want to add?
Now, it all comes back. You're right. A year before 1928, this is the biggest share difference since 1928. 1929 happened later, and we always come back to gold, preserving your wealth. It is so important. And yes, I know folks are waiting for things to fall off the cliff, and you better be thankful that you have an extra day to prepare, to get your things in order, to get your finances in order, to get your water in order, to get your food in order. And we talk about this all the time, to get your finances in order and to get you spiritually in order. So there's so many things to do. And just because it hasn't happened yet, I believe the day of reckoning is coming, and it gets nearer every day.
Yep. And we just see this again. We see this, the problem with the income inequality. I guarantee you, right now, labor unions are in a bad way, and they've been in a bad way for a considerable period of time. That's going to change in the next several years. There will be a political reaction to the income inequality comparable to what we saw with Franklin Delano Roosevelt and the New Deal. And right or wrong, I'm not advocating, I'm just saying you can't keep robbing people and expect that they're just going to sit there and take it. There'll be political change, political upheaval, and we should all fasten our laugh straps and get prepared for that. We are out of time. I want to thank all of you for listening. We'll be back tomorrow. In the meantime, Frank the producer. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad. In my dream, I have a plan. If I got me a wealthy man.